Greetings, greetings, once again, to all my enemies and all my friends. You may have heard the news, but stand by now for the worldview. That's right, it is the Weekly Worldview, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back to the show where we don't take calls, we don't tolerate sponsors or anything like that. But we do help focus you on the events of the week through the lens of original thought. And it's good to have you here for a special midweek edition. I would love to be with you this Sunday, but I have obligations. And therefore, I wanted to fulfill my obligation to you by coming to you midweek with a special edition of the Weekly Worldview. I'm joined in studio, as always, by my extremely attractive audio engineer. We're just ready here to start out with some bad news, I guess. From the culture of Death File, a little bit of bad news. Well, I don't know if it's bad news, it's news. Radio host Art Bell, do you remember Art Bell? Art Bell, I can't remember the name of his show, but it was always on overnight. It was always about space aliens and witchcraft and other stuff. And he would throw in some religion from time to time as well. He would talk about space aliens, and then he would move. He'd talk about Kabbalah Judaism and then a little bit of Christianity, and then always back to the space aliens. Very obsessed with the space aliens was Art Bell. Overnights with Art Bell, was that the name of the show? I can't remember. Anyway, it turns out he died recently. Turns out he died of an accidental drug overdose. A cocktail of prescription drugs that included oxycodone, hydrocodone, diazepam, which you may know as Valium, or you may not.
No, I don't.
And carisoprodol, a muscle relaxant on top of all that. Turns out he also suffered from COPD, but it was the cocktail of drugs that killed Art Bell accidentally. Accidentally is what it, so it wasn't intentional. It was another accidental overdose. All the drugs that killed him were lawfully prescribed to him, according to the sheriff out there in Pahrump. There you have it, Art Bell. Shocking that Art Bell was on a cocktail of drugs. No wonder he was obsessed with space aliens. He was whacked out on drugs. You know, that doesn't help. You get whacked out on drugs, you'll believe almost anything. Or at least you're willing to entertain all sorts of foolishness that if you weren't whacked out on drugs, you would never even consider. But he made a career out of it. And there you have it. Okay, so that's it for him. Now, speaking of a drug addict who's not dead yet, we go to Jerry Brown out in California. Shocking to discover that he's actually the governor of California. I thought that was some kind of joke, but it turns out it's true. Jerry Brown is actually the governor of California, which I think he was back in the 70s or the 80s. Wasn't he the governor? Back when he was a young hippie star child. And then he became an old Bernie Sanders style hippie socialist. And somehow he ends up the governor of California again. Anyway, he's freaking out about the fires out there. Another season of fires. Jerry Brown he warned this past week that the new fires, this is reported in PJ Media, by the way. PJ Media reports that Jerry Brown warns that devastating blazes are, quote, the new normal, unquote. This is the new normal out in California. Fires in the hills of California. It's unheard of in the history of the state of California. He says that Jerry Brown says, quote, since civilization emerged 10,000 years ago, we haven't had this kind of heat condition, and it's going to continue to get worse. And that's the way it is, unquote. That's Jerry Brown. I like the fact that he's acknowledging that civilization, in fact, emerged 10,000 years ago. That's something. That's something we can all agree on, I think, that civilization indeed emerged 10,000 years ago. But what else does he have to say? We're in for a very rough ride, says Jerry. It's going to get expensive. It's going to get dangerous. We have to apply all of our creativity and make the best of what's going to be an increasingly bad situation. Not just for California, but people all over America and all over the world. It's terrible. Awful. Jerry, calm down. Calm down. There have been fires in California ever since there's been California. There's been fires in California. And, yeah, they're pretty bad this year, but you got a lot of people, more and more people, more densely packed. You've got a bunch of liberal environmental whack jobs in the state government who refuse to remove any underbrush or disturb nature in any way. And you have a horrible water situation out there where you haven't built a new dam or a new man-made reservoir in, I don't know, 25, 35 years. How long has it been, Jerry? Since you focused the efforts, since the governing wackadoodles in California have focused their efforts on utilizing the massive amounts of water that flow out of your mountains into the ocean every year and reserve some of those to maybe fight the fires and maybe allow people to clear underbrush instead of worshiping mice and birds. Do some clearing of the underbrush out there, Jerry. And just don't freak out. But, well, Jerry says it's going to get expensive. He's setting you Californians up for yet another tax increase. Be very expensive to fight the fires. I read that California had already burned through its firefighting funds. Burned through. I didn't mean it that way. They've used them all up. And almost all of them. And there's still a good bit of the fire season remaining. And so California will just go further and deeper into debt. It's the worst situation since civilization emerged 10,000 years ago. It's never been this bad. Well, I blame Jerry Brown and people like him. All right, so I guess we'll move on from California. What else we got here? All right, so we move now to Colorado into the justice file, where this just boils my blood the way this article is reported. And this is from Fox News, which is an allegedly conservative news outlet. Fox News reports that an Iraqi immigrant allegedly shot a Colorado cop last Thursday. Yeah, he's an Iraqi immigrant is what he is. He's a Karar al-Kamasi, 31, last Thursday shot a Colorado Springs police officer named Sem Duzel. He shot him in the head on Thursday morning, meaning he's no longer considered, for public consumption anyway, an Iraqi immigrant. No. Now he's a maniac who shot a cop in the head. And the headline should not list him as an Iraqi immigrant because that's kind of a sympathetic title. He's an Iraqi immigrant. He's fleeing persecution from Iraq. Well, in 2013, this maniac was charged with drunk driving. About a month later, charged with criminal extortion, threatening a man and his family, threatened to set their car on fire. Let's see. In 2014, he was charged with first-degree trespassing. This past year, in January, he was charged for allegedly possessing a stolen handgun. He posted cash bail, and that's why he was free last Thursday to shoot Officer Duzel in the head. He was free on bail. And Fox News says it's unclear why al-Kamasi was not deported in the 5 years since he has been a refugee from Iraq. Well, it's not unclear at all why he hasn't been deported. We don't deport people who actually kill other people. They're not deported. And now this guy's, well, he's this police officer, Duzel, he's been fighting for his life since last Thursday. It's been, well, everyone here in Colorado, we've been praying for the officer and his family. It's just been horrible. Kamasi, our local friendly Iraqi immigrant, was charged with attempted first-degree murder, possession of a weapon by a previous offender, and felony menacing on Friday after he shot a police officer in the head. Felony menacing, really. And this time he's being held without bond. So there's a good chance he won't kill or injure anyone else until he goes on trial and is processed in and out of the system for this particular shooting. And there you have the state of justice, at least in the state of Colorado, and as I'm sure it is reflected across the country. And speaking of Colorado, this is just shocking, this story. We had a family in Aurora, Colorado. Their home was broken into by a naked intruder. That right there, you've got to wonder what's going on. How is a naked intruder breaking into somebody's house in the middle of the night? That's pretty shocking. Naked intruder breaks in, grabs an 11-year-old child, drags him into the bathroom where he begins attacking the boy. So the father and the grandfather try to get the boy away from the maniac naked intruder. I said a naked intruder. Male. Well, the grandfather finally grabbed his gun and shot and killed the naked intruder. And then moments later, the police showed up. And in just a tragic series of events, as of yet inexplicable, one officer shot and killed the grandfather who had killed the maniac who had broken in to his house and was assaulting his grandson naked in the bathroom. The grandfather killed was Richard Black, 73 years old, Richard Black Jr. Just a tragic series of events. You know, when I'm sure the officer who shot Richard Black Jr. just feels horrible. Just horrible. But when our cities are allowed to descend into something resembling a war zone or a Mad Max movie, I mean, since when do naked men invade homes and grab grandchildren? How did we get to this? And I haven't even had a chance to look into the background of the maniac killer. I will follow up on this and find out how many times was the maniac who got this grandfather killed, how many times has he been processed in and out of the justice system here in Colorado? I will be updating you on that as facts become available. But Colorado, especially Aurora, Colorado, which is never the greatest neighborhood in the first place, it's literally descended to the level of some kind of post-apocalyptic zombie war zone on certain nights, especially in the summer. And when that happens, when politicians and lawmakers and judges and lawyers and the proctocracy in general produce an environment in which it's possible that naked maniacs could break into your house in the middle of the night and your city resembles something like a war zone, we can expect that innocent people like Richard Black Jr., the 73-year-old grandfather, are going to be killed. He's collateral damage in a war zone created by liberals and lawyers who, for whatever reason, have decided that we all have to tolerate a certain level of criminality. And you can't tolerate criminality. It can't be tolerated. Because it just gets bigger and worse and more intense. If you're going to tolerate petty crimes and you're going to process people in and out of the justice system for drunk driving and assault and menacing and extortion and things like that, eventually the maniacs end up with free rein throughout the city. And the police officers are just trying to keep up and it's dark. And it's confusing, and people are scared, and people are being shot, and innocent people end up getting killed. It is something like a war zone. And that's why Richard Black Jr. was killed, was because of the environment that's been created by the liberal proctocracy that's running Colorado into the ground. And I'm sure if it's not already in your neighborhood, that it is indeed coming to a neighborhood near you. I'm your host, Doug McBurney. I appreciate that. Just calm me down. I get very worked up. Anyway, that was just a particularly shocking story. And a fine example of what the proctocracy has given us. And we will certainly follow up and we will update when we find out exactly what happened there. We go to the justice file now, where a man was charged last week with spiking his girlfriend's drink with an abortion-inducing drug. And he was convicted of attempted first-degree intentional homicide of an unborn child. That's a very legalistic and lawyerly way of saying he tried to kill a child. In this case, an unborn child. He could have just been charged with attempted murder, but he wasn't. He was charged and convicted of attempted first-degree intentional homicide of an unborn child. Because they have to separate that out from the legal killing of unborn children that are allowed in Outagamie County, which I don't know where this is. This is the United States of America, I do believe. Appleton, Outagamie County. Sounds like Florida, but I don't know. But it's legal there to murder children if it's done according to the rules that the proctocracy has created. But in this case, he slipped an abortion-inducing drug into his girlfriend's drink. Now, the girlfriend did not ingest the drink. But she miscarried weeks later for reasons as of now unknown. And anyway, the attempted homicide charges. Well, there, see, the editor here simplified it. Attempted homicide charges. That was just for the sake of newsprint space. They called it what it was, attempted homicide. The attempted homicide charges carries a maximum sentence of 60 years. This is reported by the Post Crescent newspaper. And so he could get 60 years. This maniac, what's his name here? I'm not sure I can pronounce it. Manish Kumar Patel. Let's see. He forfeited a $750,000 cash bond after he was arrested, and he went on the run, and he escaped justice for nearly a decade until he was arrested in New York back in January of last year. and when he was returned to his home county, they then set his cash bond at $20 million. So they set his cash bond higher for bail jumping than they had initially set it for attempted murder, which is just bizarre. Because bail jumping, well, I guess it's serious. But, I mean, it's not attempted murder. Anyway, they put a $20 million bond. He wasn't able to make bail. And they've convicted him. He could get up to 60 years, but I can assure you he will not. He will be processed in and out of the justice system. And they will extract as much money out of him as they can. And then he will be allowed back out into society. No doubt that the conviction will be overturned as lawyers from the ACLU and the Innocence Project and everyone else fall all over themselves to defend Manish Kumar Patel, who tried to abort his unborn child. Because that's a very offensive charge to liberals. To charge someone with trying to kill an unborn child implies that an unborn child is a person. And we will not have that. Our culture will simply not allow even the implication that an unborn child is a person to stand. And this rotten, filthy person will not, he will not have justice dealt to him in the fashion in which it is deserved. Let me just leave it at that. Now, let's go on to reason number 1153. To get or keep your children out of the government schools, and if you find yourself in a government school, you should flee. Flee, especially if you're a 14-year-old boy. Why? Well, a Bronx public school teacher, this is according to the New York Post, a Bronx public school teacher has admitted that she molested a 14-year-old boy on multiple occasions in multiple locations. And the justice system there in the Bronx has decided she does not have to go to prison and she does not have to surrender her teaching license. Why? Well, there's no explanation. That's just the way it is. Dory, a 29-year-old social studies teacher. Yeah, yeah, social studies. All right. She's a teacher at the New School for Leadership in the Arts. She pled guilty, and she will have to register as a sex offender. So there, she's got that going for her. She's the wife of a Rockland County Sheriff's Officer. Wow, that's just, yeah, that's... All right, it just goes to show you, folks, that the sexual immorality and rot has permeated every nook and cranny of our society. If the rock was ever overturned and it was revealed how bad things really are, the Me Too movement would be a tempest in a teapot. Because that's just the tip of the iceberg as to how craven the sexual immorality is that's overflowing and flooding into everything. Just disgusting. Let's see. Her defense lawyer said, I don't see any reason to destroy her ability to make a living as a teacher and to contribute to society in a positive way. Well, there's the child molestation. That doesn't strike you as a reason, Mr. No, apparently not. Well, there's that reason, right? No, that's not a good reason. Is there any reason, sir, that you would want to keep someone from making a living as a teacher? As any reason at all. You know what I think this is? It's because she molested a boy. Nobody really finds it all that serious. I really believe there's a bias for all of these female school teachers. Anyway, let's move aside. Let's just move along. That's reason number 1153 to get or keep your children out of the government schools. And I'll just leave it at that. I don't even want to talk about it anymore. Let's go to Joe Biden. Joe Biden has a foundation. Did you know that? Of course he has a foundation. The guy hasn't had a job in 30 years. So he gets out of government. What do you think he's going to do? Go to work? Pah! No, he's going to start a foundation. Just like Bubba, Bill, Jeff, and Hillary started a foundation. Does George W. Bush have a foundation? I'm sure he does. He doesn't get a lot of press because he was a Republican. But I'm sure George W. Bush is up there frittering away people's money, doing foolish and stupid things that generally harm society. And I'm just guessing that about George W. Bush, because we know that's what Bill and Hillary Clinton did. We know that Barack Obama, the reason he's stealing that park in Chicago and making everybody mad, is so he can fritter away billions of dollars entertaining himself and ruining the world. That's what he's going to do. And Joe Biden has apparently been busy himself with his own foundation. He's raised money, right? He's got himself a building that he's built or rented. We don't exactly know. And now he's launching a campaign for president, you ask. No, no. Joe Biden is not launching a bid for the presidency, although in light of what he's doing here, it might be better if he did launch a campaign for president, because what he's decided to do is to launch a campaign called As You Are, As You Are, and it's a campaign to protect gender-confused children from their parents if their parents do not affirm their transition. So these are young, mentally ill children who've been convinced by someone, probably the people who've molested them, that they need to transition from a boy into a girl or from a girl into a boy. That, yeah, it's either the people who molested them or the people who want to molest them. So they've been gender confused, and now Joe Biden wants to step in and make sure that their parents don't interfere with their desire to transition to, well, whatever it is they transition over to. Oh, a gender not compatible with their biological sex, Breitbart calls it. So it's a new initiative. It's dubbed As You Are. Biden says, well, here's, Breitbart says, the former vice president's foundation said on Tuesday, well, who said it? The foundation didn't say it. The foundation's not a person. Joe Biden said it. It's his foundation. Whose name is on the door? It's Joe Biden, which is creepy right there. Biden says family rejection significantly contributes to negative outcomes for LGBTQ young people, specifically severe depression and suicidal ideation. And he says that parents rejecting their transitional children, it's not limited to just parents disowning the kid or kicking the child out. It also includes subjecting young people to so-called conversion therapy, blocking their access to LGBTQ friends and networks. What's that? Those are the people who either have or want to molest the child. It's their LGBTQ friends and networks. And Joe Biden wants to make sure that these mentally ill, very, very precarious children who are, now if there's any, if you wanted to define at-risk youth, that's what I would call these children. Children who have been deceived and manipulated, molested, and defiled, typically by adults. And so they become a gender confused. That's an at-risk child. And why are they at risk? It's because of people like Joe Biden. And the only question I have, well, one of the questions I have a lot of questions. What's the deal with Joe Biden's sudden obsession with homosexuality over the last few years? Joe Biden did not build his political career as an advocate for sexual deviancy, perversion, and homosexuality in particular. And now he's a frothing at the mouth advocate for every kind of sexual deviance and perversion you can imagine. Joe Biden is right there on the cutting edge. And I'm wondering what the deal was with him and Barry. That's all. I know it's disgusting to think about, but something happened there. Barry, I think, got Joe to transition over to some, oh, I don't know. It just really strikes me as odd. I would not be surprised if Joe Biden does not come out as a homosexual before he dies. No. Yes. Oh, I would not be surprised. Let's see. Do we have anything else here? No, this is pretty gross. I mean, Joe Biden just himself is kind of a creepy dude. You know, with the way he glad hands all the women. And he's just always been a bit of a creep. And I have a feeling something happened in the White House with him and Barack Obama. And Joe just, I don't know, he crossed over and he went somewhere from which Joe ain't coming back. You didn't find this show by accident. It's not like you were scanning the dial and here's this guy you hear. And no, you sought this one out. You're getting exactly what you deserve. So I have a friend on Facebook. Now, he's not a real friend. He's just a Facebook friend, and he's a homosexual. And he posted up. And by the way, I like him personally. I think he's witty. And observant, okay? And I think he's a human being with all the rights that are endowed into a human being, just to be clear, okay? And he posted up about someone in the government suggested the possibility of some rule that would imply that everyone in the government doesn't have to bow down before homosexuals, something like that, some minor adjustment to the federal law that would not enshrine homosexuality as just wonderful and great all the time. I forget what the actual rule was, but it was fairly minor. It's like the State Department is not going to name a building after Harvey Milk or something like that. It wasn't that. I just made that up, but it was something like that. And he posted up and he was outraged that the government was doing anything that would cause homosexuality not to be basically worshipped. And so I answered him because he's obviously trolling. He calls me a troll, but he trolls normal people. And I said, you should be outraged. The gays should march in the streets. Wait a minute. They already do march in the streets. And we went back and forth, and all his friends attacked me as a homophobe and a creep. And then, of course, they said I was a closeted homosexual. Always, whenever you get into a spat on Facebook with homosexuals and their friends, what do they call them? Their LGBTQ friends and network. It's a matter of 3 to 4 posts before they accuse you of being a homosexual. As if there's something wrong with that. After they've been defending their homosexual friend, then they say, well, the thing is you're a homosexual. So I said, I know I am a homosexual. My mom and dad were homosexuals. George Washington was a homosexual. Everyone was a homosexual. I know that. Let's move on from that. And I ended up making the point that, look, I wish that you would just shut up about your sexual preferences. Just shut up about it. Keep it in the closet where the normal people keep it. We don't go around talking about our sexual preferences, and we certainly don't march down the street with signs and wearing the chaps, and the whole thing is disgusting, that's all. Anyway, he said, he basically implied that the fact that I call my audio engineer America's most extremely attractive audio engineer. He said, how would you like to be restricted from doing that? What's that? Well, that means, I don't know. He means that me saying that you're attractive somehow is me talking about sex, which it's not. That's the difference, see? Normal people can express affection for one another, men and women, without it being sexualized. But see, homosexuals can't. Because the whole foundation of who you are and who you are forcing us to acknowledge is all wrapped up in what you do sexually. And we'd rather not know. We'd just rather not know about it. So anyway, that's a long way of getting around to that my homosexual Facebook friend has listened to this show, which is shocking. I doubt he's listened to much, but he at least got that far. And I take that as some level of encouragement because I like the guy. Anyway, and he was, and he told me this, so I think it's okay to say, and nobody knows who he is. But he was molested by someone in his parents' church as a young man. That's how we had our initial conversation, and I told him, I don't hate you. I love you enough to recognize that you're hurt by that, and it's ruined your life, and it's caused you to go off into this deviant behavior. And, you know, yes, I stigmatize and I mock the homosexual mafia who want to take over the country and force us all to bow down and worship. But it's not that I hate you. It's not, that's not it. I don't hate you. I love you enough to try to help. And part of that is not letting you get by with your snide little comments and the posting the picture of your husband as if you're normal and all this weirdness. I just don't let you get by with that. Because at some point, maybe later, maybe today, I don't know, maybe you'll wake up and you'll look in the mirror and you'll just realize that you're not well. That's all. All right? And I'm not perfect either. I got problems. I've got my failings and my faults and my problems, and I'm annoying. I do things I shouldn't do. But I don't promote those as normal, and I don't ask you to accept my failings or whatever it is I do that's sinful or wrong or hurtful. I don't ask you to accept that and glorify it and put that out as like the norm or the ideal or all of that, so... Meanwhile, let me get back here. Meanwhile, while Joe Biden, a high-ranking government official, or at least a former high-ranking government official, is obsessed with destroying the lives of gender-confused children, while that's going on, China, we go to the war file. This is from the Daily Star in England. China last week tested their Starry Sky 2 hypersonic aircraft. The aircraft was fired into space using its shockwave propulsion system known as a wave rider, and it maintained speeds above Mach 5, over 3,800 miles an hour, for almost 10 minutes, and it reached a maximum top speed of 4,563 miles an hour. Chinese officials say they can deliver nuclear weapons that we cannot defend against using this hypersonic plane. They call them irresistible nukes. But China would never do that. Now you got to wonder, why is China working on an aircraft that can go 5,000 miles an hour? Why are they doing that? Is it because they're our friends? Is it because they just want to trade with us and be friendly with us? No. What I think we have forgotten, and what I believe is still true just based on my knowledge of all of human history, is that when the despots achieve any level of superiority, they will strike. If China believed that they could strike us, I believe they will. All the trade aside and all the trinkets and all the iPhones and all that aside, I believe they will. And this is evidence. Why do they need a plane that goes 5,000 miles an hour? It's so that they can strike us. That's why. And so I guess, am I glad that Donald Trump is in the White House rather than Joe Biden when it comes to China and their 5,000 mile an hour weapons delivery system? I guess I am. I guess I have to admit that. At least I think Donald Trump is not obsessed with transgendered children. He's probably more worried about an aircraft that goes 5,000 miles an hour. How do you defend against that? I hope somebody's working on it. And I'm certain there are. Are they working as hard at defending against a 5,000-mile-an-hour weapons delivery system as they are with transgendering children? I don't know. I hope they are. Now, speaking of China, you remember I reported to you last month, maybe 2 months ago, Google dropped its motto, "Don't be evil," from its official corporate description. You remember that? They used to start with, "Don't be evil." And back, I believe, in June or something, they just dropped it without any acknowledgement. Well, now we know why. Because they wanted to go to China and set up a search engine in China. And the first thing they had to do that was acknowledge that they are evil. And they have done it. They have set up a search engine that scrubs any results that the Chinese communist government, the atheistic communist government in China, anything they might be upset about, the new Google China, it scrubs all that. According to The Sun in the United Kingdom, Google is bowing to China's oppressive communist regime by restricting access to information that Chinese officials tell them that they're not allowed to look at, so things that offend the Chinese. Yeah, now the Sun, they say they were tipped off that Google's been having secret meetings with President Xi Jinping, or Xi Jinping. It turns out that might be why they got rid of the whole "don't be evil" facade. Yeah. So when you're in China, if you go to China, or if you're a local in China, and you type in a sensitive query, one of the censored information areas, China has what they call their Great Firewall of China that prevents sensitive queries about things like Tiananmen Square, liberty, freedom, Jesus Christ, things like that. If you enter in how do I become a Christian, you'll get a page that says no results shown. Same with Tiananmen Square, no results. It never happened. And by the way, the police are on the way to your house because now we just saw that you looked for that. So Google is going to participate in the oppression of the Chinese people, which means that some Chinese people will be arrested, imprisoned, and killed because of what they searched for on Google, because Google has bowed and Google has admitted they're evil, and Google always has been evil. And is there anything more to say about that? No. That comes to us from the Pure Evil file. Google. And I think I had something else on China. Did I have that? Yes, here we go. In China, the crackdown against Christianity continues under President Xi Jinping. Christian freedoms have shrunk dramatically, even as the country undergoes a religious revival. Xi Jinping is waging the most severe systematic oppression of Christianity since the beginning of the atheistic Chinese regime. And there's a push by Xi Jinping to, quote, sinicize all the nation's religions by infusing the Christian religion with Chinese characteristics such as loyalty to the Communist Party. And so I want to be fair to the Muslims that the Chinese are also doing this to the Muslims. They've rounded up hundreds of thousands of Uyghurs, Muslims, and they're re-educating them along with Tibetans and Buddhists and everyone else who the Chinese are afraid of because they're a bunch of atheists. And atheism, by the way, it ends up leaving you extremely paranoid because eventually you don't know what's real or what you believe. And I believe that's where the leadership of the Chinese government is. They're terrified. They're terrified that people are going to discover the truth. And when the truth is discovered, they realize that none of the emperors have any clothes. And the Chinese government could collapse in a day. It could happen. And they know it. And they're terrified. And so they want the Christian church. If you want to have a church, you have to register with the Chinese government. And you have to take a loyalty oath to the Communist Party, which is a gangster organization of thieves and criminals and murderers. So Christianity cannot, a Christian minister cannot get on his knees and offer his allegiance to a band of looters and pirates and murderers and thieves, but that's exactly what the Chinese government is asking them to do. And now Google has signed on to work right alongside and help them to get it done. I am your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back. We want to go now to Arizona State University, where we delve into the science. Really? File. Where we visit itinerant Professor Lawrence Krauss.
Indeed.
Lawrence Krauss. So I'm sitting one night a few years ago, and I'm watching the comedian who has the Late Show now. His name is escaping me. This is very embarrassing because he's very well known.
Kimmel?
Not Jimmy Kimmel. Nope, nope. The other one who's not funny and he's obsessed with Donald Trump. He can't make a joke outside of Donald Trump. He used to be funny when he was on The Daily Show or The Late Show. I forget. He was on Comedy Central. You all know who I'm talking about. Stephen Colbert. Indeed. The Colbert. That's it. I'm watching Stephen Colbert, and he's interviewing Lawrence Krauss, who has a book called A Universe from Nothing. I'm watching the interview as Colbert lobs softball after softball after softball to Lawrence Krauss, atheist, theoretical physicist, emphasis on the theoretical, and Krauss has the audience basically lapping out of his hand, and he's a genius, and Colbert practically gets down on his knees and washes his feet. He has like a religious experience for Stephen Colbert to interview Lawrence Krauss. And I thought to myself, if my pastor, Bob Enyard, could interview this Krauss fellow, that would be something to see. And it turns out Krauss was trying to sell a book at the time. And so I called his publisher's office, and I ended up getting connected with the people who tried to hype the book, and we set up the interview, and before you knew it, my pastor, Bob Enyart, was interviewing Lawrence Krauss on the radio in front of God and everybody. And it was a classic. In fact, new facts keep erupting out of that interview. Even what now, 2-3 years later. It's classic. Anyway, one of my greatest achievements in life was arranging the interview between Bob Enyart and Lawrence Krauss, because it was of eternal consequence. Of particular eternal consequence. I guess everything's of eternal consequence. But that was a particularly interesting eternal consequence. And so now we find that Lawrence Krauss has been heading what is called the... he founded the Origins Project. The Origins Project, and he's at ASU. He's been its director since 2009. And if you, by the name of the project, it would seem that Lawrence Krauss, along with his students and other professors at ASU, were seeking to reveal and to find the truth about the origins of the universe and life and everything. But it turns out he was just cruising the students. That's right, Lawrence Krauss, world-renowned theoretical physicist, has been removed after accusations of sexual misconduct came out in February, yada, yada. He was placed on paid leave, which is what they do with liberals who molest the students. First, you get paid leave, and if they can't talk fast enough and put enough shiny objects in front of the world, you end up losing your gig. Which Lawrence Krauss has done. He's been dismissed, frankly. He's no longer the project's leader because of alleged sexual misconduct, including, well, inappropriate comments and behavior. Accusations came from multiple women. It's good to see that at least Krauss is interested in women. That's something. He hasn't been hanging around with Joe Biden, apparently. Let's see. So instead of focusing on the origins of the universe and life, Lawrence was, well, allegedly just cruising the students. And let's see, this is from azcentral.com, which I think is the newspaper down there. Krauss, they say, is an outspoken atheist. Yes, indeed outspoken. And by the way, Krauss's atheism is incapable of condemning his alleged behavior. Did you know that? I mean, what is inappropriate? And what is bad behavior? And how would you judge that by Krauss's atheism? So he wasn't judged by atheistic standards. Let's just make that clear. Was he judged by biblical standards? Well, that would have been nice. But this is one of the reasons the Me Too movement is not going to result in anything more than a temporary minor pause in the rampant sexual immorality and abuse of women. This is why. Because Lawrence Krauss, along with all of the other purveyors of sexual harassment and molestation and everything else that have been accused over the past year or so, have not been judged by biblical standards. They've actually been judged by legal exposure to actuarial standards. So lawyers and accountants have gotten, and they've said, look, if we let this keep going, we're going to get sued and this is going to cost us a fortune. We could lose the whole company. We got to get rid of Weinstein. He could bring the whole company down. We're not going to be able to cover this up. That's the standard by which they've been judged. Not by the biblical standard that they've done something immoral, that they should be ashamed of, that they should be charged with a crime over. Although a couple of them have been charged with a crime, but only the ones who were so outright just unbelievably blatant and horrible with the things they did, like Harvey Weinstein. The rest of them, it's been the lawyers and the accountants and the insurance agents who've come in and said, we got to do something about this guy. So they've been judged by actuarial standards, not by biblical standards. Yes, so you have an institution that's now exposed to litigation and financial loss. And that's why. That's why. And that's why the Me Too movement is basically a repentance-free movement. Nobody's been encouraged to repent because even the people who got molested don't want to acknowledge that there's a God. That's why. And they're not allowed to. At least not that I've heard of. And that's why this problem of powerful men using sex as a weapon to destroy or build up the careers of women, that's why this problem is only going to go, it's going to be a temporary ebb, and then it will flow again, and it'll come back even worse. The powerful men will be twice the child of hell they were before the whole Me Too movement. All right. So, back to Lawrence Krauss. He never made a lot of headway on the whole origins of the universe. He didn't give us a lot on that. But he does seem to have shed some light on the origins of the Me Too movement. Anyway, so he's... no life is wasted. One can always at least serve as a bad example. And that's where Lawrence Krauss falls. All right, now, let's get to GMOs. If I haven't alienated and offended everyone in my audience at least once up until now, this will do it. This will be the rest. Everyone who has not been offended yet is about to be offended now. I'm going to talk about genetically modified organisms. 3 decades ago, Robert Fraley helped to invent the genetically modified seeds that have ushered in a new era of agricultural productivity. And it's what I don't want to insult people. I'll just say that some people call his corn Frankenfood. They call it Frankenfood. What he did was he worked with a team that inserted foreign genes into plants back in the early 1980s, and they figured out a way to make a seed that would tolerate herbicide, specifically Roundup and specifically Monsanto. I know Monsanto's evil. They're the devil. All right. You say Monsanto, and immediately people think that you're a part of the Illuminati and the New World Order and all of that. And so I don't work for Monsanto. They do not advertise on the show. This does not qualify as an advertisement. But basically, he figured out a way to have corn that would, you put the herbicide Roundup on a field and it kills everything, and I mean everything, except the corn. Which on its face, to me, seems pretty cool. Today, more than 90% of U.S. soybean and corn crops are grown with Roundup-ready seeds that have been modified to withstand the chemical herbicide Roundup. And so this is from Bloomberg. They say that while the public has embraced advances in molecular genetics in other industries like medicine, it's been more difficult for food. People are really freaked out about food because I don't know why. You know why I think it is? Because they don't really worry about food. I mean, in generations past, you were just trying to get some food. Now you're freaking out about the glutens in the food and the GMOs in the food. It's because you got so much food, you're 30 pounds overweight. Now you got to freak out about why does my stomach feel bad? Why do I have indigestion? Why does my ankle hurt? It's probably the GMOs. It's probably because we all eat too much and we're too fat. I know that's my problem. I know I struggle with that. But anyway, what I wanted to say here about the whole... let me just make a note here. When young Robert Fraley left his father's farm back in the early 1970s to go off to college and learn how to be a molecular biologist, corn harvests were typically 75 bushels an acre. Today, they are 175 bushels an acre and rising because of the work this guy did. And so now we don't have any long-term studies on the effects of GMOs on our overall health, longevity, psychology. We don't know. It could be that we're hurtling toward extinction. I mean, I suppose that's a possibility. We have no long-term studies. But you know what we do have? We have tens of millions of short-term studies called people who've been able to eat, who in the past wouldn't have been able to eat, and in fact weren't able to eat and actually died. So if you're afraid of GMOs because they might kill you, I can assure you that starvation will kill you and has killed millions of people. And now corn is exceedingly abundant all over the planet because of fellas like Robert Fraley. And all I want to say is, give GMOs a chance. That's all. Just give GMOs a chance. All right, so now, was that too offensive? I tried to be nice on that. Now, finally, ladies and gentlemen, I want to get to this because this just... There's a court in... the court in Nevada. Let's see here. Let me find... Where did I want to start with this story? Here we go. June 25th, 1990. FBI agent John Bailey just happened to be in the Security Pacific Bank when Jose Echevarria walked in to try to rob the bank. And in the ensuing bank robbery, Jose Echevarria shot John Bailey in the head, killing him. He murdered an FBI agent during the bank robbery. Well, now, in a July 25th opinion from the Ninth Circuit Court, Jose Echevarria has been ordered set free or retried. Not because the judge questions whether or not Jose Echevarria in fact shot and killed John Bailey. That's not an issue. The issue is that John Bailey had investigated the trial judge in previous years on some kind of something. And basically the judge is saying that because of that, Jose Echevarria, who everyone already agrees shot and killed John Bailey, shot him in the head and killed him. Because of that, Jose Echevarria must be retried or set free. And here's the thing. This was 1990. A lot of the witnesses in the case are either not findable or actually dead. And this bastard could be released because they can't put together a trial. Because it's almost 30 years later. This Ninth District, they should be strung up by their ankles and beaten with tennis rackets, figuratively. Very upset about this. So in a 30-page opinion on how this guy might have gotten an unfair trial, nowhere was it ever disputed that Jose Echevarria in 1990 shot and killed John Bailey. That was never in dispute, but he still could go free. A murderer could be ordered set free by another member or members of the Proctocracy. And meanwhile in Belgium, they legalized euthanasia in Belgium, and now they're euthanizing children. The Belgian Libertarian Technocracy, that's an interesting, the Libertarian Technocracy of Belgium has conquered all qualms about euthanasia, and children can request to be killed, and they can be killed now by doctors. Between 1 January 2016 and December 31st, 2017, Belgian physicians gave lethal injections to 3 children under 18 at their request. The technocracy has conquered all qualms. But don't worry, Belgian law trusts experts to prevent mistakes or abuses. Kind of like we do here in America with the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. Just kind of rely on them to... All right, that's the Weekly Worldview, folks. Thank you for tuning in. I want to thank my friends at KGOV.com, at AmericanRightToLife.com, and of course my other brother Daryl, who makes it all happen. Here in the Weekly Worldview studio, should the Lord tarry, we will return next week. And until then, may the grace of God go with you, and may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.